This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, look, I am 55 years old, so I both fondly and clearly remember jarts, a.k.a. lawn darts. Now, were they dangerous? Well, sure, if you didn't move out of the way, kind of like regular darts or golf or any other game that involves flying projectiles. But in December of 1988, they were determined to be too dangerous and were outlawed. Also, as a kid, we used to make fun of other kids if they wore a helmet when they were riding their bikes. But by 1987, states began adopting laws that required children to wear helmets on bikes because, frankly, it's a good idea. And as a kid, we used to beg and plead with our parents to ride in the bed of a pickup truck if we had to travel somewhere. Yeah, well, like lawn darts and bike helmets, states started banning that in the 1980s. And by 1995, it was banned in each and every state except, any guesses? One state you can still ride in the back of the pickup truck. Wrong.
Montana.
New Hampshire.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, now sure, it was a different time. But now we're legally mandated to make good decisions for our kids, and that's a positive thing. But it doesn't prevent us from making the occasional stupidly dangerous decision for our kids. We go to China, where a couple, they've stirred up controversy. You see, the couple were having a heated dispute, but their kids were home. And not wanting their kids to hear or witness the argument, the kids were sent outside. You're thinking, all right, that's great parenting. The problem was that the kids were sitting on the window air conditioning unit outside of their 23rd floor apartment. Yeah, it turns out that's not a great idea. And people there were kind of like, you are bad parents. Who knew? Now, these are just some of the stories that we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question. And this is how it works. You call us. We'll ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
To be a part of the big show, the random question. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but y'all, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4202. What a large and in charge program we have for you today.
Oh, yeah.
First and foremost, we have a special announcement coming up at 4:30. This announcement involves beer and a party. To give you a little bit of a hint. Beer most likely made by Black Raven Brewing.
Ooh, don't give away so much.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Party, we will most likely drink beer made by Black Raven.
Yes. So we do have a very special announcement coming up for the holidays at 4:30. Now, right after that, we'll play a little Your Guess Is As Good As Mine, and wouldn't you know it, the categories today, the 10 most popular beer styles in the world.
Okay.
All right. How many different beer styles would you guys say that you either actually enjoy, or are there a couple that you're just not your speed?
I used to not like pilsners in certain breweries. Black Raven actually makes two pilsners that I think are awesome.
I'm not a big Hef guy.
I was getting ready to say Hef. I was on them for
they're
a while.
They're sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a sour beer guy.
No.
I have tried probably four or five different kinds, And just for whatever reason, it's just not my thing.
Yeah, I just don't like sour beer.
I mean, I like sour beers, but that's literally you have like one or two.
I was going to say that's like a one time. It's kind of like a pumpkin beer. I don't mind a pumpkin beer. They're good, but they're so heavy that typically after one, I go back to whatever my usual is.
Now, man, and sometimes the holiday beers, they will knock you on your ass.
It seems like for whatever reason, we're going to put out a holiday beer so that the alcohol is, you know, 10 times more than our normal brew.
Right.
Happy holidays.
Jolly Roger, a maritime brewing company in Ballard, man, they make a winter ale that will just put you on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes great. You can only have one of them, but it's...
How did you learn that?
Because I had one of them, and I was like, hey, yeah, that's good.
A lot of times you'll have like four, and then you have to go to the bathroom or something, and you're like, oh, no, mm-hmm. I'm drunk.
These are the top 10 most popular beer styles around the world, and believe it or not, they are popular, for the most part, all over the world.
Okay.
So that's one of the unique things about beer in this category, is that everyone on this planet, there's basically the same. It'd be like going to any restaurant anywhere in the world, and they kind of like the same food.
Right.
That's the weird thing about this beer list, is you look at the countries where people drink the beer, and, I mean, for the most part, it's just, it's the beers we know. There's no differential. You don't go to China and get a different style beer.
Right, just a different company.
Just a different company that makes the beer, but the styles remain the same.
Shouldn't there be a restaurant like that? Like, you're pointing out, like, certain foods that everyone likes, so your menu is, like, Korean fried chicken, authentic Thai pizza.
Barbecue.
Barbecue, cheese steaks, right. Like, if you like it, we've got it.
Indian food, whatever it is, yeah.
So just the top, butter chicken. Not even Indian food, like, we got butter chicken.
That's a popular one. The 10 most popular beer styles in the world. The other category we have for you today, they ask which U.S. cities should be at the top of your barbecue bucket list as far as towns you go to and try the barbecue. So, of all places, the people at Lawn Starter, they ranked 2024's best barbecue cities in America. And they expanded to 500 of the biggest U.S. cities based on five categories. They looked at access to barbecue vendors and smokehouses, the ratings of those from consumers, competition awards, and the number of barbecue festivals were among the 20 metrics. So, you've been to some of these towns. I don't know if you've had the barbecue or not, but either way, maybe you should give it a try, as each of these towns has a different and distinct style of doing barbecue.
I'm imagining that 9 of the 10 are probably in the South.
A lot are.
Are these
in the South?
The standards, like how we know, like the traditional, like five versions of barbecue?
Well, they are, but they are not. So, for an example, we know Carolina barbecue, but that's a statewide thing more so than just one of their major cities.
Right.
Or one of their major towns.
Yeah.
So Charlotte doesn't really get the nod as far as being one of the best barbecue towns.
Just be somewhere in the state.
Because like Carolina barbecue kind of is both of them.
It could be Raleigh.
Unless it's mustard-based, then it's specifically Columbia.
Sure.
Right.
And that's South Carolina. And, whether it's Columbia or Charleston, the state represents barbecue very well. Those cities in particular don't necessarily do that. You get on the outskirts and get the best barbecue in those areas.
But oddly enough, Carolina barbecue makes its way at least to Norfolk, Virginia. If you get barbecue in Norfolk, Virginia, if it does not say Texas style, it's Carolina style.
See, the same thing when I grew up in Maryland. Generally, if we had barbecue, it was almost always that vinegar-based pork.
Right? Yep. And on the West Coast, if you see a taco truck in a gas station parking lot, pull over. Get some tacos. The same holds true with barbecue, especially in the South. If you see a barbecue establishment in the parking lot of a gas station, stop there. There's picnic tables for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Get yourself some barbecue.
I would say two of the best tacos that I have had in Seattle. One is, is it El Camino outside of the Home Depot?
El Caminion, maybe?
Whatever it is. Outside of Home Depot. It's there all the time. There's always a line.
Oh, the red one, right?
Yeah.
Good God. That place, I've had a burrito from there. Phenomenal.
That is legit. And then the taco truck over by Northgate.
That's a stand. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't,
because they have one on the other side of 99 too. It's only been there for about a month. Yeah,
but good Lord, that was some good stuff, man.
Yep, absolutely. So the category is coming up with your guess as good as mine: the best barbecue here in the United States and the 10 most popular beer categories from around the world. And keep in mind, we'll do that right after we make our beer announcement at 4:30. Today is a day we do our random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Katie.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
Katie, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's just start right from the top. Katie, what was a dangerous thing that was fairly normal when you were a kid that just probably would not fly today for whatever reason?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my grandparents gave me, you know, a dollar, and I would walk, you know, I was maybe 7, 8 years old, and I'd walk a mile to the convenience store by myself, you know, pretty seedy area of town, but I could walk to the store and back and think nothing of it. And would I let my child do that today? Oh, heck no.
No.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing, because the same thing, you know, your parents, honest to God, just like you said, Katie, here's some money, get out of our face, walk to the store. Store's a half mile to a mile away. They didn't even care if you came back home immediately, or maybe you stopped by a friend's house and didn't even have to call to let them know they were there. My kids would do this, and I'm like, ah, yeah, man, I know you want to hit a Target. And I don't know why, what the difference is.
Katie, what did you pick? You had $1. You go into a convenience store, you're a kid, there's all kinds of options. What did you normally get?
All the candy you can get your hands on, too.
Okay, all right. I typically remember getting either baseball cards or a Slurpee equivalent.
Did you ever get the candy cigarettes there, Katie?
Yes, and my parents took them away immediately.
Oh, really? Okay, so they did put their foot down on the candy cigarettes.
See, but if you would have brought back, like, they had a little bubble gum nuggets that essentially they put in a skull container.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would like Big League Chew.
Yeah, would they're cool with you with Big League Chew?
Oh, absolutely. The more you could stuff in your mouth, the better.
Right. So they're okay with that kind of tobacco product, but the candy cigarettes, I guess it's just a bad look.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I did a lot of Big League Chew.
Well, for sure.
I don't know that I've ever put in a chaw. My granddad.
Yeah, but I was going to say, if I brought anything home chocolate, then they'd kind of my dad would let some things slide, but my mom would not.
What do you mean? Like, what chocolate things would your mom not let slide?
Well, if I brought home, like, you know, a Snickers bar and kind of gave it to my dad, I could keep candy that my mom would not let me normally keep.
Okay.
But I couldn't bribe my mom that way.
What do you bribe your mom with? Like, if my wife, chocolate would not work, but she likes all the fruit flavor, like Skittles and gummy bears and all that kind of thing.
Nope, there was no bribing my mom whatsoever. She was the hard ass of the family.
I think it was... It was unique back in the day in the 70s when I grew up. It was not uncommon every holiday season that you were to get some kind of a weapon. And that was fairly normal in West Virginia. And I'm not talking about just like a whitetail hunter compound bow. I'm talking about slingshots with like silver balls that you got with it.
Yeah.
So that you could go out and shoot that thing. And like, there's no practical application for a slingshot in the great outdoors. They're not that accurate.
I remember my parents got me because I begged them for it, and they finally relented. It wasn't Christmas. It was my birthday. Do you remember the those kind of fake Rambo knives?
They weren't fake.
It was a real knife. They just sent it to you very dull. But one
it's
side
a Billy
was
a knife, right?
One side was serrated. You could unscrew the compass top, and there was
a container in the middle that had like string and like a saw.
Yeah, a little saw.
Yeah, and they were like,
here you go. You wanted this blade with the serrated edge, and you know, go outside and do something with it.
BB guns. I mean, everything from starting out with a Daisy, then to moving up to a Crossman, which definitely can break skin, and you know, that thing could cause some definitive damage. And we never went hunting, obviously, with a BB gun. So other than that, you got to question, why do you really have this thing? It's not any good for target practice because you can't see.
It's just fun.
Shoot plastic bottles full of water. That's what I did with mine.
Yeah, it gets your kids out of the house. And it seems like in the 70s, that was the single most important thing for parents. If you were not in school, whether it's the weekend or summer break, they woke you up by a certain time. But it seemed like 10 a.m. was the latest that I could still be in my parents' home before I was asked the question, why are you in my house?
Did you have brass knuckles?
We had brass knuckles.
I had brass knuckles.
The butterfly knife. And then I didn't have this, but a buddy of mine and his parents bought it for him. It's the brass knuckles, but it had the blade on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's actually a blade that protruded. So if the knuckles ain't going to mess you up, then the blade will. But somehow
I never did, but my friends got throwing stars. They got all those different things. It's almost like your uncle went to the gas station convenience store with a plastic box on the counter and decided to buy you a Christmas present like out of that, like a Zippo. I got a Zippo when I was 15.
And we had Zippos when we were like in 7th and 8th grade. We didn't smoke or anything.
No,
we just loved having them. And we would just light them and, you know, brush them against your jeans.
But isn't that the truth?
I never would think to myself, I'm going to give my daughter a Zippo.
No, I mean, it wouldn't cross my mind. But, I mean, you look at kids, and outside of, like, video games, if you buy a Barbie doll, right? they don't actually do anything. They still have to sit there and create the scenario and walk it around. I mean, in the end, if this will occupy your time and you will leave me alone, you can have it.
Reese, we asked what dangerous thing was the norm when you were a kid. A distressing incident happened in central China and has drawn significant attention after a woman reportedly placed her two small children on an air conditioning unit. The problem is they were on the 23rd floor of an apartment building as she was having a dispute with her husband. So
I think she
sat the kids on top of the air conditioning unit, which was outside of a window on the 23rd
floor. 23 floors
above the ground. Yeah. According to the South China Morning Post, the incident occurred October the 10th, where neighbors ended up recording the children's cries, resulting in a video that went viral. The children were seen without any safety gear as their mother allegedly blocked their father from reaching them. While the daughter was visibly upset and crying, her brother appeared to be okay.
It was pretty chill.
The exact cause of the couple's argument is unclear, but a concerned neighbor notified the authorities, and then officials showed up. They said the firefighting vehicle came. The children were rescued. Police are looking into the matter, although it remains unknown whether the mother will face any repercussions. 55 million people have watched this thing on Chinese social media. One user expressed outrage, of course. Mother should protect her children. Criticism continued to pour in the more the people saw this video. This woman is insane. She is horrible. She should receive serious judicial punishment. That's a little more than normal.
I mean, when you first read it, I go, okay, you don't want your kids around the argument, so send them outside. I go, look, you know what, man? Not a bad idea. Wait a minute. What, they're sitting on an air conditioning window unit 23 floors up. That is insane. I mean, like I said, you know, looking back, our parents may have made some dumb decisions, but it wasn't so obviously dangerous. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Hello, Red. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Red, welcome to the program. Red, a question. Let's see here, Red. How about, you could answer this one, Red. When did you get poop on you? Whether it was yours or somebody else's, could be a dog, baby. When did you get pooped on or get poop on?
Oh, my goodness. I'd say walking into work and getting bombed by seagulls.
Is this a fairly regular occurrence?
It does happen.
Where do you work?
When you're around the waterfront, it does happen.
Oh, I thought you worked at a French fry stand.
Dang, I wish.
How many times a week do you think it happens?
To random people, a lot.
Do you think that is a... Do you think they know exactly what they're doing when they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems like they do.
Isn't that kind of their defense? Not even quite defense, but minor bay. Don't like you kind of move I've heard from seagulls.
Yeah, it just ain't right. I mean, you could be walking along minding your own daggone business and then pow.
And Red, it's a pretty good load, too. It's not like, you know, you got pooped on by a robin or something. Those things, they unload.
You know, it's amazing to me. Poop is so universal. Monkeys don't like you. They throw a turd at you. Seagulls don't like you. They will rain S down upon you. Hippos smack the crap everywhere to let you know, don't mess with my S.
Hey, Red, have you ever seen the video? This is probably about, honest to God, 20 years old. And I don't know what beach this was at. But a bunch of kids stuffed food with laxatives. And I don't know if it was hot dogs, french fries, I'm not sure what the hell. But all the seagulls came and they ate the food. And then I don't know how much time elapses, but it seems like it's almost instantaneous. These birds just start crapping on everybody at this board.
Every bird all at once.
It's insane.
That would be absolute horrid.
I mean, the video is funny.
It looks like a horror movie.
You're glad you're not there. Remember the movie The Birds and people are screaming and running from birds? Mm-hmm. It's like that, except the birds aren't attacking them. They're just pooping on them.
Well, the reason we asked, when did you get poop on you? A video from SeaWorld San Antonio has shocked and amused viewers, showing a whale releasing fecal matter mid-performance. The incident happened during an orca show, leaving guests in the splash zone unexpectedly covered in both water and whale feces.
I totally browned out, dude.
The incident happened during one of SeaWorld's well-known orca shows, in which the creatures do leaps and flips, among other tricks. One orca finished a high leap at the same time that it let up the excrement, which sprayed onlookers and entered into the splash zone. Families and young children were among those impacted, and other people said the stench was intolerable. It was shocking. We expected to get wet, but not like that. It smelled awful. People were gagging. The impacted visitors were led to a designated decontamination location as soon as the show was halted. They got water, soap, towels there to use for cleaning. In addition, the visitors may purchase clean clothes from the gift store.
And you can purchase them.
Bathing facilities if necessary. The park did issue an apology statement. We regret this unfortunate event. Are taking every step to ensure safety and the comfort of our guests. Our team followed established protocols to minimize health risks and will review the procedures to prevent this from happening again.
You can't predict when an orca's going to poop. You say, what procedures do you take? You're going to tell, hey, man, try not to poop in front of the audience.
Well, believe it or not, they said the risk of infection is low, but things like styes, pink eye, and other things could potentially surface here in the next week or two for the people who saw the show over the weekend. I think we know where that joke goes. More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Special announcement coming up at 4:30. In the meantime, it is a random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Alex. Random, welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, you gargoyles.
Hola.
Alex, welcome to the program. Random question. All right. Let's go with this one. What would you say is the strangest or most unique thing that you discovered about somewhere else when visiting? Could be anything.
Say the end of that one more time. You cut out a little bit.
Okay. The strangest or most unique thing that you discovered when you went to someplace else. Different state, different city, different country.
Like Miles went to Mexico and you don't flush your toilet paper, you got to put it in a trash can, you suffered through that.
In one of the places I went, yes. That was strange.
The first thing that comes to mind is the first time I went to Oregon in Portland, and this was back when I was very young. And I was just absolutely blown away by these public water fountains just in the middle of the sidewalk. The bubblies, I think is what they're called.
Yeah. They do have a lot of, well, they used to. I don't know if they do anymore. But I was
blown away by those things.
That was actually pretty common back in the day. Pioneer Square had a couple of old water fountains down there. Baltimore, there were a few that I can remember.
Did they actually have water? There were a lot. Look, Baltimore, one of its nicknames among many things is Monument City, because there's a lot of those things, but with the exception of two that I can think of off the top of my head, all of them were dry all the time.
Yeah.
So now it was like a statue in a bowl.
Also, Portland has a lot of water fountains as well downtown and just kind of water type things.
When we first moved here, when we first moved to Seattle from Baltimore, right? And it just blew my mind. We were Miles, you and I were downtown at like Bourne and Pine or Pike, all right? And we don't have the right of way. No big deal, but I had stepped off of the sidewalk. I'm not in the middle of the street. Just I had a foot on the street, 1 foot on the sidewalk. Very common on the East Coast because it's all about go, go, go all the time. And traffic came to a stop in both directions. And everyone's looking at me, but no one looked angry. People mm-hmm. looking at me. I just remember this one woman kind of had a smile on her face, and she's like waving me to cross. I'm like, why would I do that? Man, you have the light. Then I realized I put my foot, my second foot back on the sidewalk, and traffic continued again. I did not realize that jaywalking and the pedestrian right-of-way thing was such a strong thing here. Because East Coast, you step in the middle of the street, they're going to hit you. And even if you had the right-of-way, the cops still put it on you.
Right.
What about honking?
But as far
I was shocked. I mean, I think it's a lot more now, but like when we first got here, like there just wasn't a lot of honking.
No.
There wasn't. Whereas like on the East Coast, people just drive constantly. Like honk like the whole time.
Everything.
Out of the way.
They will never get out of their car to get you. Like, what are they called? The door, the East Coast doorbell is your car horn.
Yeah.
You just stop in front of someone's house and
growing up, the Pennsylvania border was 25 minutes away from where I grew up.
All right.
So, you know, it's one thing to drink when you're 18, 19, go to parties. There's a couple bars you can get into. Totally different thing when you turn 21 and you're legally able to drink. And the major concert venue was up in Pennsylvania. So typically we would go to a weeknight show or a weekend show. But when you're 21 and you can legally buy beer, that was a confusing state. So basically,
oh, Pennsylvania,
we did it once. And then we realized, look, we need to load up on our supply here and stick that in the trunk. There's no point in making a beer run or whatever the deal is. I know they've changed a lot of those laws, but you could, if you wanted a six pack of beer, you basically needed to go into a bar
mm-hmm.
and then get the six pack to go, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they have a lot of weird little rules.
And then, like, if you buy a case of beer in Pennsylvania, and I don't know if this is still true, you could buy it, but it wasn't refrigerated. Right, you could not buy it more than a certain number of beers. It's like, well, you can buy it, but you got to buy the warm beer. So you'd walk into like these, and you,
there was no coolers.
You couldn't cheat the system. They would have coolers with six packs, and if you grab 4 6 packs, they'd tell you, look, you got to buy a case, and you got to buy it warm. So even if you tried to mix and match, like, well, I don't want 24 say Buds. I want six of these, six of that, and they're like, look, you got a decision to make. All four of you guys can buy a six-pack individually if it's a different beer, or you got to buy a case of one thing and it's warm.
Yeah, it happened to us buying O'Doul's once.
O'Doul's?
Same thing. They were like, because we went to a distributor where you could buy a case. They were like, you got to buy a case. And we're like, dude, it's O'Doul's. We only need like 6 or 12. He's like, got to buy a case.
Yeah, I'm Perry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pennsylvania, it's a very, and I want to say you can't, the liquor is sold separate from beer as far as the stores go.
Right.
So, a lot of states
but
are
they're
still
next
like
to each other. Yeah. They're always next to each other, but you know, you'd walk in. And what's funny is last time I was in Pennsylvania with my wife, and we ran out to buy beer. We wanted to buy beer and we wanted to buy booze. And they're next to each other, okay? So we buy whatever beer we're going to get. It's all warm. And then the guy's like, are you guys going to buy any liquor? We're like, yeah. The liquor store's next door. He's like, all right, hang on. Same cashier. Runs out of the beer store, yep. Runs into the liquor store, same guy, rings us up, right. And went back to the beer store.
I took a trip with my first wife. We were maybe 23, 24 years old to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And I never really explored that part of the East Coast before. So we get a hotel room. We drive down there. We do all the things as far as there's a lot of touristy things to do down there. The Wright Brother Memorial is there.
Okay.
So you can like walk up on the hill where, you know, they launch the plane and they have a museum. And the beaches are remote to the point where the road, and it's not a big deal on the West Coast, especially in Washington and Oregon, but you really don't drive on the beaches on the East Coast.
Right.
But there, when you get past Duck and Corralla and you keep on going north, the road ends, and you watch these homes on videos within the last 2 months that are falling into the ocean. We could not believe that these homes were on basically this sandbar that you could also drive on, and people were parking their cars because they're all on stilts.
Yeah, just park under your house.
There's a fire department out there.
Underneath their home.
Really?
Yeah. And so, but that wasn't what blew my mind. All right? All these weird things that are a little bit different in that area. The thing that blew my mind was they had a place called the Brew Through. Mm-hmm. Now, think about a barn where you drive your car up, and it's a convenience store, and you tell them what you want, and they basically run around the store real quick, get everything you want, and then, you know, put it in a bag and ring you up in your car. You could get a margarita.
Right.
You could get a margarita in a cup. Now, you could get a six-pack of beer. You could get Jack Daniels. I mean, you never got out of your car.
No.
I thought this was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. We got chips. We got beer. I'm like, this is great.
And now places this brag about great. It. Right? They've been doing that forever. Now you get like Home Depot. Hey, if you call in advance, you know, we'll have all your crap ready when you show up. And it's like, yeah, man, the liquor barn is way ahead of you on this, man. They've been knocking this out for years. I'll tell you one thing I thought was crazy when we went to Europe. And obviously, things are different everywhere you go. But the one thing that kind of blew my mind, my wife and I are walking through Naples. All right, and there are a lot of people on the street. There's a lot of cars on the street. But they have a lot of alleys there. So we're kind of cutting through alleys. And in these alleys, there's shops, there's restaurants and all this. That's where the motorcycles are. And they go about 60 miles an hour down these crowded alleys. And either you get out of the way or you get hit. We figured that out real quick.
Yeah.
They never took the main roads, man. They just zipped through these alleys at blinding speed. I could not believe it.
Reason we asked, what's the strangest or most unique thing that you discovered about somewhere else when visiting? They say one thing Americans can agree on is America is extremely diverse. Each state has its own personality, traditions, and customs. So if you're traveling from one state to another, you're bound to come across a surprise or two. So Americans are sharing some of their cultural shock moments they had while traveling around this country of ours. Going from New England to the South and asking where the water bubbler is. I guess that's a New England thing to call a water fountain a water bubbler, and I never knew that.
I've never heard anyone say water bubbler.
Bubbler I've heard, never water bubbler. Just know,
bubbler.
Where's the bubbler at?
Bubbler, and still a water fountain?
Yes.
Okay.
When I taught high school in Kentucky, I bought the cookbook that the school band was selling at the fundraiser. Among the pages of the local recipes were barbecued raccoon and baked opossum. That was kind of...
That doesn't shock me.
A culture shock.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
Another one says, sprinklers. I grew up in Pennsylvania where we always had a lot of rain and a lot of water, sometimes too much. Then I moved to Montana, and the area I moved was a little bit drier. So I wasn't prepared for the sprinklers they used to keep the grass alive. I was walking along the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, boom, a jet of water comes out, spraying in intervals around the long nest to me. I suddenly changed course, and the water hit me in the face. I've never seen that before. Which seems really a little strange coming from Pennsylvania.
I mean, it's a green state. You'd think you would have seen sprinklers before.
I come from a town that's about 99% white. When I went to L.A., I was a minority, which was a different feeling for me.
Well, I can fathom that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In 2019, my family and I visited Washington, D.C. for a vacation. My sister and I went to the CVS near our hotel trying to find anything alcoholic. But the joke was on us. We were told we could only buy alcohol from an actual liquor store and only during certain hours. In Louisiana, you can buy alcohol anytime from anywhere.
Yeah.
Target, Walmart, gas stations, corner stores. When our family got home, we made up for it with some daiquiris. Here's another about traveling across this country.
Say, I was shocked the first time I went to, like, the South or something and saw states that just sold beer in like, grocery stores.
Yeah. And I mean,
to this day in PG County, you still got to go to a liquor store to get anything alcoholic.
Jeez.
Guys, I lived in New York for the first 21 years of my life. When I moved to Colorado at 21, I noticed strangers on the street just, like, smiling at you. It took the first few years of living there to get used to it and not assume those smiling at me wanted to fight.
Yeah, if you're coming from New York, I can see that.
Here's another. Grew up in Southern California where fireworks are illegal. Like, you can't have them at all, and you never see them outside of professional shows. So I go visit my aunt in Nebraska on the 4th of July, and when I stepped outside that night, it was a frickin' war zone. I was terrified and jumpy and was endlessly coughing from all the fireworks smoke. I went back inside and hid under the covers the rest of the night as I was a small kid.
Really?
Yep.
I'd have been super excited about that myself, man.
I moved to rural Tennessee from California and saw a flyer at a local grocery store advertising a Klan rally.
Oh.
Needless to say, I moved. I thought the KKK only existed in the movies and ended long ago. I can't believe that nonsense was still going on today.
Yeah, it's still going on.
That from Scott. Let's see. Family went to Florida mid-January. We were looking forward to the weather, which was forecasted to be in the upper 50s, mid-60s, all in T-shirts and some of us in shorts. Meanwhile, locals are all bundled up. As my family and I walked around, we got a few looks, and one guy asked if we were cold. I told him we were from the Midwest and that this weather is what we call nice. His expression was a mix of surprise, awe, and seemingly a tinge of sadness as we enjoyed the weather, as he was legitimately shivering.
Dude, when I was, like, in seventh grade, right, Florida State joins the ACC,
So my dad's like, for me and my brother, we're going to go down there and watch Maryland play Florida State. All same thing. It's Tallahassee, Florida. I mean, it might have been 60. And I mean, those people were all bundled up. The one in front of us had on a fur coat. And I remember as a kid, I even said, why do you need a fur coat? She was like, it's below 60.
Oh, they're not. My family that lives in Houston, they hate visiting us if it's ever the wintertime, right? But even in the summer, because, look, Seattle, obviously, it's not balls hot in the summer, but, you know, 80 degrees, man, we're kind of sweating it out. And they're still wearing, like, pullovers and stuff. And I'm like, are you for real? And they're like, baby, it's cold outside. I'm like, it's 80 degrees, man. Like, but it's July. I'm like, but it's 80 degrees. Like, nah, baby, it's cold.
Here's a good one. Moved to Pennsylvania from Illinois. Stopped at a deli. I asked the woman at the counter for a quarter pound of ham, and she asked me something like, do you want chips? I said, no, I want a quarter pound of ham. She asked again if I wanted chips. I said, louder, all I want is a quarter pound of ham. Then a lady beside me said, she's asking if you want it chipped. I've never heard that term used for deli meat slicing before, like chip-chopped ham, she explained. Expecting some recognition from me with that phrase, all I said to the woman at the counter was, sliced? Thanks. chipped ham's pretty solid if you've never had it.
I told you, stopping at a sandwich shop on the Jersey Shore, right? We're like coming home, and same thing, like a lot of action in there, a lot of yelling. So I just go, I'll take an Italian sub. You want an Italian sub? I was like, yeah. And he's like, what kind of ham? I said, what comes on it? Listen, man, it's three times, you know, capicola. Like, he's like, oh, excuse me, I almost cursed, but he was like effing pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, which one do you make?
The good one.
Like, you're the Italian guy.
The one that you tell me to make. What kind of ham do you want?
Yeah, next thing I know, I'm screaming like, capicola!
Hey! Americans sharing their cultural shock moments while they're traveling to another state. I'm from Texas, where sarcasm is the unofficial state language. In college, I spent summers in another state. So after offending many people, not realizing it, I finally realized that not everyone speaks sarcasm, and that what's funny in Texas isn't necessarily a joke elsewhere, which was a lesson learned.
I learned in London, you just order what you want, cider, as opposed to, may I have a cider, please?
The woman looked at me like I was too long.
Like I was insane. What?
I want the, okay, cider.
Yeah, guys, I'm from Washington State. When I went to Texas, there were so many flags of Texas everywhere we went. Texans are extremely proud of their state. In Washington, we might see our state flag on a government building, maybe every once in a while. But being Washingtonian isn't a huge part of our personality. Texans are Texan to the core.
Yes, they are.
Texans hype each other up about Texas.
They
which
do.
Which I kind of respect.
But yeah, when you're in Texas, man, you will never not know that you're in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, as somebody that grew up in Maryland, we're obsessed with our flag, too.
We really are.
It's
but
everywhere.
It's so obnoxious, you have to embrace it.
Yeah. Moved from a major city in North Carolina to rural Georgia. People were generally nice, but I couldn't get over the nosiness of complete strangers. People who I didn't even know asked me about religion and political affiliations. I even had a coworker ask me my views on abortions after 2 weeks of starting there. People are nice, but man, are they nosy. It was off-putting. Here's another one. Living in New Orleans most of my life, I was surprised while driving in California and people actually use their turn signals. A lot of drivers in New Orleans see traffic laws as more of a suggestion than an actual law, so people using their signal on and off before merging lanes blew my mind. Also, I like how Californians say, you guys, or you all, instead of just y'all.
Yeah, the New Orleans way.
And one more.
The other shocking thing about New Orleans is you'd be surprised over 2 or 3 days there how you go to restaurants. Like, do you have anything that's not fried?
Oh, baby, you might want to go to this restaurant down the street.
And guys, I'm from New York City, just visited Cincinnati, Ohio. The obsession with Skyline Chili is astounding. It's essentially a food group. Another culture shock I experienced was when I visited South Dakota. There was a one-stop shop with liquor, gas, and a casino. The casino was basically a back room with video poker games right near the liquor bottles.
You know, one thing you do discover when you travel around the country, you don't necessarily know that the words that you use wherever you live are not universal. So when I first got to Seattle, he asked for a hoagie. And people are like, what is a hoagie? And you go like, universal, a submarine sandwich. I go, oh. Okay. A hoagie, East Coast, same thing as a sub. And the other one was Hots.
Yep.
Right? If I say, hey, man, can I get Hots on that? I mean, people... All right, so you don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so Hots, and there aren't everything on the East Coast. Hots are... When you buy... If you go to the grocery store and you buy kind of that small jar of chopped up peppers, essentially, like in vinegar or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they actually had a name. Seriously, until I got to Seattle, because I'd asked for hots. And, I mean, no one knew what I was talking about. Went to a grocery store, asked for hots, no idea what I'm talking about. And then I found them, because they're sold everywhere.
Right.
They're just not called hots. I did not know that they weren't called hots. And I felt like a doofus. Ooh. Like I'm asking,
it's great on a
because people are like, do you mean like chopped up peppers? I'm like,
yeah. Back to what you were saying about the teriyaki the other night, Mike. It's not, it does not have that kind of heat profile. It's got more of a taste profile to it.
Yeah, it's tangy and
but it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't kick your ass. I mean, you can put enough on there, it'll kick your ass. But it's still reasonable.
Random.
As far as the spice,
random.
I like this. Someone here on the text line says, my favorite way to describe the U.S. is 50 unique countries and a trench coat. Mike, that's actually pretty
it's also, I mean, it's a lot like Europe in the sense, especially in the mid-Atlantic, that like I grew up in Maryland. Virginia is not far. But to me, they're just different people.
They're way different.
I don't associate with them.
No, I don't like them. I have to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Hello, William. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, this is William.
Hola.
Hi, William.
Whoa. William, welcome to the program. And a random question. Hell yeah. All right, William, let's go with this one. What happened to your dog? What happened to your dog that's memorable?
My dog got struck by lightning.
Jesus, man. For real?
For real. The lightning bolt struck his chain in the middle of the thunderstorm. I was living in Oklahoma, of all places, in the middle of May. Expected thunderstorm there at that time. And sure enough, the clouds went black, and my grandma sent me out to go get that dog, and I didn't make it halfway. And the rain just powered out, and the lightning crashed, hit the dog's chain, and the dog turned around, bit the chain like it had done something to him, you know. And the dog lived through it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he lived through it.
I'll be darned.
He lived another 5 years.
Huh.
Okay.
He started meowing.
That's crazy.
But, you know, he was alive.
Damn.
Oh, my God. That's memorable.
That's yes.
All righty then.
The reason we asked, what happened to your dog? Chia, a 10-year-old Shih Tzu poodle who lives in Seattle, is lucky to be alive. The worst injuries were under her neck, according to her owner, Naria Lucia. None of her organs were injured. It's a total miracle. As last Wednesday, a coyote got into their yard in Magnolia and attacked Chia. And it took off with her.
Cha-cha-cha-chia.
In its mouth, running down the street. A neighbor saw it happen and alerted the owners. They jumped in their car and started chasing after the coyote, who had chi in its mouth. The coyote was actually not too far down the road, but it was still holding chia. We honked the horn, we shined bright lights on the dog, and the coyote dropped her. And then Naria scooped up her pet, and she was rushed to the veterinary emergency group in Inner Bay for treatment. She did have 11 puncture wounds and 2 broken ribs. She will survive, but she is still apparently very shaken up. They posted to Nextdoor to warn others. Hundreds of people commented. Many shared their own stories of coyote encounters.
Meep, meep.
By the way, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, they do track reported coyote attacks. They say they're common in many larger wooded green spaces, in city parks, especially at night and in the early morning. But at nearby Discovery Park, there are signs posted at parking lots and around the area to alert people there are coyotes inside the park grounds. And they say if you ever encounter one, they recommend stand tall, be loud, don't be afraid to throw things. Cool. The more you haze the coyotes and make sure they're not welcome in the areas that people are, they're less likely to attack and come back. So it's better off for the communities.
Is that the picture that you showed me last week?
Yes.
Okay, there's a still picture of the dog, and it looks like it's been attacked by a coyote. Not because it's bloodied or banged up, just the look on the dog's face like, you will not believe what the F just happened.
I have had the worst day. I mean, he's just looking in the camera like, you've got to be effing kidding me.
You don't want to hear about Monday.
Yeah. They buy $1 million home in Magnolia. Next thing you know, a coyote picks me up and runs down the street with my ass. Yeah. $1 million my ass.
F this house. F this neighborhood, man.
You know how hard it is to get on I-5 from here?
God, it does suck.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.